Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 237 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Sean.
Welcome, Sean.
Thank you.
Back from all of your world travels.
7 months abroad. I come back to D.C. and things are pretty much the same. But it's nice to be back home.
Absolutely.
Trump was elected and everybody said, that's it, I'm leaving the country. And you actually did.
I actually did. For legal purposes, maintained permanent residence here in D.C. I'm back. Back.
Cool. So what did you learn from your time abroad?
I learned how to count to 20 in Japanese.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ichi ni. I won't do it, but.
I would still be impressed. And I would have also no idea if you were just making stuff up or not.
At about 17, he just starts making it up. Like, wow, well done.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
18.
Making dolphin noises.
I learned not to eat anything in Nepal. I was sick for 2 weeks.
Okay.
I got food poisoning. 2 weeks. It's called Giardia. So if you ever, I don't know if anybody knows what that is. It's when somebody makes food but doesn't wash their hands after using the toilet.
Yep.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, here you go. And I was like, this tastes really, really good. And I'm just eating it. And there's a split screen of him not washing his hands at all while he makes my food. I was out of commission, but I still had to travel because I had already booked the flights in advance.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm going from Nepal to India, which made it worse.
Naturally.
I drank the water in India. Fun fact.
Don't drink
the water in India. Don't do that. Then I went to Egypt and Dubai, and I got better in Dubai.
Yeah, I went to Bethany Beach last week and drank the water, and it messed up with my stomach. So
really?
That's how sensitive, apparently, I am to the differences in water.
Well,
same thing, Nepal.
Yeah, no, similar. Yeah, it's very, very similar. Yeah.
When I was talking about, like, what did you learn,
uh-huh.
I guess that counts because it met the question I was asking, but I thought, like, more fun facts. I didn't know if your fact today was related to your travels.
Yeah, my fact today is sort of related to my travels. If you want me to segue into that, it was a good segue.
I wasn't planning on it, but it feels right.
It feels right.
Good now that you all have talked about it for 15 seconds.
Yeah, let's do it. So my fact has to do with vending machines.
Yeah.
Everybody, okay. I'm going to just sort of a quick spoiler here. Everybody knows that Japan has the most vending machines per capita. So there's one vending machine in Japan for every 22 residents.
Wow.
That's true. That's not my fact, but that's true.
Wait, so that could have been your question because I would have had no idea that. You said that, like, everybody knows that, like, there's 50 states, but I did not. I would have not. I mean, maybe I would have guessed Japan, but that's not a fact that I would immediately think vending machines Japan.
Japan, I think, is pretty well known for their
vending machines.
Because there's, like, specific vending machines. It's not, they don't all sell soda.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? That's
they're the ones that have the
that are all vending machines.
So yeah. The electronics and things.
Well, there are also, there's a rumor, and it used to exist, it doesn't anymore, that you could have bought used panties.
Oh, that's not true?
No, it's not true. Well, it used to be. There's like in one store on the 6th floor, if you know a guy and you know a word, he will point you in that direction because that's a thing in Japan. But they have vending machines for...
Could you get money for selling your used panties to the vending machines?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They have...
You can get a lot more online.
I know you can't see it. Lindsay is...
contemplative.
I was like, if I don't know the vending machine, I don't know. Like, well, I'll get new
Screw
underwear
you,
then.
No, part-time job.
They definitely are into that. There are walls in Japan.
It is kind of gross now that I think about
it. It's disgusting.
Yeah. It took you the second realization.
I really like fresh clothes and like fresh sheets. So I was thinking, could I just never have to wash and do laundry again? I came from a very selfish place there.
They're soiled, really. And these Japanese men, obviously this isn't all of them, but a lot of the Japanese men will want to go and have this garment, this relic of a woman, because this is true, young Japanese people are not having sex. They have a huge
population. The population is massively decreasing.
That's the way they had that with Denmark. They did that tourism thing. We've talked about that before. And the U.S. birth rates, too, a little bit.
It has to do a lot with culture, though, because in Japan, the dating culture is pretty much non-existent. Like, men don't approach women, and women don't approach men.
Oh, no.
So on trains and public places, like, everybody's on their phones, or they are, and this is true, in a 7-Eleven reading a manga, like an animated comic, that is just walls of that in a 7-Eleven in Japan. And we got a little off topic, but I thought that was sort of interesting.
Right.
So they don't have Tinder there?
I can tell you about Tinder. We can get to that. Tinder is, maybe we'll save that for a later, but Tinder is very interesting in Japan.
I must know now.
Okay, so vending machines, dating culture,
Okay,
your
so,
fact.
Yeah, I will get back to Tinder. That's a promise. But So Japan has one vending machine for every 22 people. That's the thing. What country has the most vending machines in the world?
Oh.
Like outside of, that's per capita is in Japan.
Right.
What country has the most vending machines in the world?
Japan square footage wise is relatively small.
Correct.
Right.
An island.
It would have to be a huge country. So it's Russia, Canada, United States, Brazil, China. India.
I want to say Brazil.
I'm going to say the U.S. I'm going to say here.
Michael.
Yeah, I was going to go U.S. also.
You guys are both right. United States.
Hey!
We have 5.3 million vending machines around there, and Japan has something like 4.8, which is crazy. That's one for every 22. We have one for every, I don't have to tell my head, it's like 47 or 48.
Our population's also like 6 or 8 times what theirs is.
Right.
Well, subtract 2 from that total because they removed them from our building.
They're bringing them back. They're just renovating the unit. Yeah, okay, I already asked very significantly about that.
What
because
vending
I,
machines? Jeez.
On the second floor? In the
obviously, it doesn't affect your life.
Most are Coca-Cola. Most of the vending machines are Coca-Cola vending machines.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah. That's a very interesting fact.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah. We have the most vending machines. USA.
Cool. So, Michael, why don't you go next?
Okay. My facts about Disney.
You have a genre, and I like it.
I do. I have a wheelhouse.
You can call it a genre. Some people call it a fetish.
Yeah.
Hey, not that far.
In trivia, we call it work.
So, 101 Dalmatians.
Yes. Uh-huh.
How many spots were generated?
Are you serious?
Wow.
Are you serious?
This is ridiculous. What does that even mean?
How many total spots were created?
Okay. They had a pattern for each dog.
Okay.
How many total spots are we talking?
All right.
Like in the whole movie? Hang on.
Wait, I'm sorry. Hold on. So
there are a total of 101 Dalmatians.
Right.
Each of them have a certain number of spots. How many total spots?
Oh, okay. So, for example, each dog has 3 spots. There would be 303 spots.
Correct.
Excellent math.
Okay.
Great
just
job.
Just want to make sure we're on the same page. not that there are different spots for every dog, but every dog has the same number of spots.
Hey, somebody in the room has proved they could do math this week.
There you go. To achieve the spotted Dalmatians, the animators used to think of a spot pattern as a constellation. Once they had that one anchor spot, next would placed in relation to that spot and so on until the full pattern was achieved.
Okay. I have a guess.
Okay.
Should I guess?
I bet it's a very large
number. Can we say what we're going to say? Were we going to throw that question out anyway?
Yeah.
Okay, so
3,417.
More.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, so we've been working.
All total, the film featured this many spots.
The total of the film? No, there's 101 Dalmatians. So you're asking for the total number of spots on the 101 Dalmatians? Or are you asking how many spots appeared on screen throughout the course of the
entire
movie?
I guess it's going to be how many were featured in the movie.
Oh, okay,
different question.
Okay, well then let's ask. Okay,
boo.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll do the math really quick.
Fail.
Okay, no, I'll do the math. Really
All right,
quick.
Lindsay, go ahead and tell your part of this story. And
okay,
then we
so we've been working on finals questions because it's September and finals are coming up for DC and Bridgetown and all those things.
Yep.
This isn't really a story, but one of the questions was which Dalmatian has the most spots, and Nick and I both knew it, and it was a 5-point wait for the finals. And we're like, well, this is too easy.
Yeah.
We can't leave this in for the finals if both of us knew it.
Right. So Pongo has.
I was going to say, is it Pongo?
Yeah.
The only one I know.
Pongo, I think what it said in the note was that Pongo has 78 spots.
Perdita
has
67.
Was it 67? I thought Perdita had, maybe it was 72 and 67.
Yeah,
and
it was
then
in that
each
range.
One of the puppies had 33.
Very close.
Okay.
So I did the math.
3,417 was my guess.
3,308 is what I got.
Okay.
Because isn't it two? It's the parents plus 99 Dalmatians.
Correct.
That's how you get to 100.
That was my understanding.
Pongo has 72.
Okay.
Perdita has 68.
Okay.
And each puppy has 32.
32. Okay. 32. So that's why I'm off.
This is according to the Disney Wiki.
I was off by 99 and 6 and 4 is 100 and whatever.
Okay. So that's your math of how many spots were on all the dogs.
Yes.
So we need to take that and multiply it by in the film.
Well, I'm going to adjust the question
can
now.
Can we just change that question?
Yeah. We're going to change the question to how many spots were on all the dogs.
Right.
That's much better.
Right.
Yes. So
101 dogs, how many total spots?
Right. Exactly. Now, as just kind of a follow-up, how many total spots were featured in the movie?
Millions.
Who cares?
Millions.
Yeah.
almost 6.5 million. 469,000 and change.
Yeah, so it's 101 dogs in 45 scenes in whatever.
Did someone count that? Someone take the time to pause and screenshot the film?
Frame by frame?
Yeah, frame by frame.
Can I ask a really dumb question?
I'm pretty sure that's what the podcast is for.
Right.
So what do you mean more? Like, are there other Dalmatians in the movie aside from the 101? I haven't seen it in a while.
No. So I believe, forgive me for stepping in here, but I believe what he's saying is that in the opening scene is the couple getting married and introducing Perdita and Pongo, right?
Right.
And in that scene, Perdita and Pongo appear in 45 seconds of film times the 67 and 72 spots on each one of them equals 13,000 spots in that scene.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So that's why we're changing the question and going to just number of spots for the whole 101. Right, because I was going to
say, do you count it if they like turn and they go behind a cupboard or something, you know?
Now, that would be a great final question.
I don't know. Everyone would walk out.
Yeah.
At least with Work by Rihanna, when we asked that question, you could figure it out and sing it in your head. That you have no reference.
I still hate you for making me research that question.
Yeah, yeah.
However, it is one of my favorite
from
stories.
From three
to
different
tell.
Sources, yeah.
It's not a great song either.
No. But that was, were you out of town for that finals?
Or
no,
I was out of town.
Yeah, so the question was, how many times does Rihanna say work in her song Work?
And we all listened to it repeatedly. We used Google Play. We used all the lyrical
sites. We counted
all
the different lyrics, yeah, all of it, just to make sure we had the number exactly right.
That's miserable. That is miserable. I'm so sorry for everybody involved. Hosts. Contestants, yes,
everybody.
However, I do have, when I tell people I work for a trivia company, they're like, what's the most ridiculous thing you've had to do?
Uh-huh.
That's my go-to.
Yeah.
Every time. It's just like, oh, you don't even know.
Nick, you want to go next?
I can go next.
Go for it.
All right. The greatest Christmas movie of all time.
Die Hard?
A Christmas
Die Hard
Story.
Opinion.
Die Hard?
I forget it then.
A Christmas Story?
I ruined the question. I ruined it. I ruined the question. It is not a Christmas story. Yeah, the answer is Die Hard. The answer is Die Hard. I already gave you the answer. I haven't even given you the question. It's being turned into a children's book.
Die Hard, a children's book?
Die Hard is being turned into a children's book so that people can share the greatest Christmas story of all time with their children, because you can't watch the movie.
Sure.
So all the bloodstains are turned into like cranberry sauce splatter and...
Is this legit?
Yeah. So, you want it now, don't you?
So what was your question going to be?
My question was, what Christmas movie has been turned into a children's book? And the answer would have been Die Hard, and everybody would have gone, wow, Die Hard into a children's book? That's a really interesting fact. But now I'm just stupid because I ruined it.
I think that was karma because we laid into Michael so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
On that note, as long as we did have a listener point out that my fact from last week may have been incorrect. I asked I believe it was the first couple on primetime television to share a bed.
You did ask that.
Yeah. I asked that question twice this week.
Yeah,
and it was Fred and Wilma Flintstone. That was the answer.
Yeah, yes. But apparently one of our listeners pointed to a show called Mary Kay and Johnny, which was on about 10 years before the Flintstones.
Was it in primetime?
That's where we're starting to get into confusion.
It was on a regional broadcast.
Ah, okay.
So maybe national primetime.
Right.
Whatever. Yeah.
So thank you, listener.
Yeah. So, but what was the thing? Were they right or just...
They were right. They were in bed together before the Flintstones. It's just a matter of whether it was primetime television. It was on a network called DuPont, which is obviously not exist anymore, before moving to CBS and then NBC, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, if we're being honest, the Flintstones, if we're taking what they do as canon, were in bed way, way, way before.
That is very true. So,
right, yeah. It was 3000 BC or whatever.
Easily,
it is.
Easily.
Strictly chronologically.
So, yeah. No, I got no problem saying, whoops, my bad.
Okay, well, that's good. I appreciate that.
Also, my further point, and this is what we discussed when we went over that earlier today,
right,
was that if you know the Mary Kay and Johnny, and you know that is the correct answer, then you also know that what we were really looking for was the Flintstones.
Right.
That's fair.
Now you're just trying to be difficult.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to go to my fact. I'm going to try to salvage this, which means I'm going to fail pretty miserably and somehow mess this up.
Okay.
But I'm going to talk about a world record. This is specifically about the Rubik's Cube, which I've solved one time in my life.
Me too.
And it took...
Never done it.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Oh, I've done it lots of times. All you got to do is pop the corner off and then you can move all the pieces around.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
No. So the world record, the new world record for fastest time to solve a Rubik's Cube was set a couple weeks ago, September 2017. So I hope it didn't get broken by the time this podcast airs,
right,
but we'll see. So how long did it take him or her to solve it?
I always have my initial, like, right off the... I'm going to say 4.2 seconds.
Why is that your initial thing?
I don't know. I just think that's one of those things. I had a fraternity brother in college who could solve one in less than 7 seconds. So I would assume that the world record would be significantly faster than that.
That's a solid guess.
I think it was less than 7 seconds, but yeah.
That's a solid guess. I would say 3.8 seconds.
Okay.
I'm going to say 4.9.
All right. You guys are all really close. It's 4.69 seconds.
All right.
Nice. This is a guy named Patrick, actually out of Virginia. This is the 3x3 cube. Any guesses as to how old Patrick is?
Wait, 4x4 cube.
No,
Rubik's is 3x3?
Yeah. Yes.
Really? Rubik's Revenge is another one they put out, and I believe that one's 4x4.
They also have 2x2 and a 5x5.
They also have a isocahedron, dodecahedron. It's either 12 or 20 sides.
Miserable.
And yeah, it's like 100 pieces per side. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, screw that.
So how old is Patrick?
How old is Patrick? Yeah.
Follow-up question. How old is Patrick? 12.
Oh, I was going to say 12. Did I take it? Did I say 12? Yes. I was going to say 12.
9.
15. Okay. Still a teenager, but you guys are right in the same vein that it was... a younger guy. So the World Cube Association, I've learned, like, you guys like to...
Those guys know how to party.
They probably do. I don't know. But this is, you know, you guys make fun of me a lot for doing this ball hockey, which is this obscure sport that I travel the world for.
Yeah.
And
let's rephrase that. Nick makes fun of you.
That's true. But he also gave me those 2 weeks off to go win a silver medal. So
I think it's cool as hell. And I love the fact that all of the City Trivia employees and District Trivia and Bridgetown employees, we all have these weird random things. Like Lindsay is a world medalist.
Yeah.
In a sport.
That should be a question for the finals.
In a sport that nobody understands.
Who won a silver medal?
I unofficially hold a Guinness World Record. Like, there's all these weird sort of things that are on there.
Right.
I was just going to say that
I didn't know that. I didn't know that about you.
You didn't know? It's unofficial because Guinness won't accept the data, which is pretty much a video of me doing it. It's the record that I unofficially hold is for the longest Quizmaster marathon. I asked a question a minute for 34 hours and 15 minutes.
Well, we could do that. We can make that happen.
Yeah, we can make that happen.
It's on the to-do.
Yeah. I'm out.
Yeah, but this Cube Association, they have records for every single type of cube that you could imagine. And then they do a series where they'll be like, they'll be in Japan, they'll be in the United States. And then people just travel the world competing in these cube competitions.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. I watched some video of it, and now I want to get into cubing.
Have you?
I don't know if that's what they call it, but that's what I'm calling it.
That's what you're
going to
call
it? I'm going to go cube.
You're going to start gleaming the cube?
Yeah.
Have you watched? I'm gonna ruin your weekend.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to ruin your weekend with hours and hours of videos. Cup stacking.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Cup stacking.
That's old.
I want in. I don't know how. I don't know where those age brackets are, because it looks like it's a lot of young kids.
Let's let an award-winning cup stacker talk for a second. Because I definitely won some ribbons back in my day at
Did
Robinson
really?
Elementary. Yes.
Okay.
For cup stacking. Yeah. What are you doing later tonight?
if I had a Tinder, that would be right on my phone.
Swipe right.
Cup stacking. One 300 game. Professional collegiate bowler.
So they also have like
meat judger.
Yeah, that's true. They have all of the different things for all the different cubes, and they have regulations because you have to shuffle them in a certain way, in a certain pattern, and you can't reset that. The bylaws are web pages and web pages and web pages, which I took 15 minutes reading all of them today.
Uh-huh.
But that's not my follow-up question.
Okay.
Dun 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 dun. Mm. So robots, yay or nay?
Yay. Yay.
Yay.
I mean, we need to be careful about the artificial intelligence.
I was going to say, we have to start getting into this debate now. Robot Rosie the housekeeper from Jetsons, yay.
Yay.
Robot Terminator, nay.
Yes.
Nay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Solid nay.
So there's also a separate world record for the robot to solve the cube. The cube. Blah, blah, blah. See, I messed it up. Dang it, Michael. I was making fun of you earlier. Now I can't speak. So the robot to solve the Rubik's cube in the fastest time.
Mm-hmm.
What was the robot's time? It's the same 3x3 thing.
Right. So
I'm assuming it's faster. I'm assuming it's faster.
The human is faster or the robot is faster?
The robot is faster.
I'm going to say the human's faster. I'm going to say it's like 5.1 seconds.
I'm going to say 3.8.
And what was the world record for the human again?
4.6.
4.69.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I'm going to say 3.8.
Yeah, I'm saying humans are faster.
I'm going to go half that. So what's half? 2.3 seconds.
2.3 seconds. All of you guys are way off.
Oh, is it less than a second?
It's less than a second.
Okay.
So this robot solved the Rubik's Cube in 0.637 seconds. And this is verified by World Cube Association, okay. Guinness World Records. It's listed. So I don't know if Guinness is going to have a separate robots section and book line, like Guinness World Records for robots and Guinness World Records for people. I don't know.
Right. So here's
what their line is.
Here's my question. And given the fact that you spent 15 minutes reading the rules, maybe you know the answer to this.
Uh-huh.
Did they allow, is it like the robot and the artificial intelligence has to solve the cube, or they have the person solve the cube and then enter the codes into the robot?
No, it's the robot uses a series of algorithms. So
okay.
The computer received two pictures of the cube. They identified the color of each piece and calculated a solution it's like a Herbert something's two-phase algorithm. It's, I don't know, some math thing.
Okay.
That's way above my head, but being honest. And it orchestrated the 21 moves of six high-performance steppers. So there is different cubes and different things. But they're all in the rules as to which ones you can have. They recently got rid of their, you can have ones without stickers now. That was a big rule change for them, the World Cube Association.
Cubes without stickers?
Yeah, because they changed it.
How do you...
It's like painted on.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I don't know.
Cube.
They have like, it's like the same thing with a stick and flex and hockey.
Oh, because
you have different cube things. So you can't like grease them and you can't have any imperfections so that you can feel like which color.
So the stickers give you additional or less grip than the paint would.
Maybe. I don't know the strategy. I didn't get that far into it. But yeah, so the computer solved it with an algorithm and it was just like, the video is pretty incredible.
It's a very short video to watch. So.
Yeah.
So
I'll actually watch this video. Media companies, I want to read things. I'm not going to watch your video. Anyway.
So I watched, maybe you and I went down the same rabbit hole because I've been watching a couple of these. Like that's how I got into the cup stacking videos. But I watched a kid solve a Rubik's Cube blindfolded.
Oh, that's also a category on here.
Yeah.
Those are ridiculous.
Yeah, they give them like a certain amount of time to examine the cube in its thing.
3 or 4 seconds.
With
your
eyes?
Not a lot of time. Yeah, no, they let you look at it.
No, this kid had it for a long, it was like a minute and a half that he was looking at it. And then the kid puts it down and then they cover it and then he puts the blindfold on and then they had like a screen in front of him and then he solved it by memory.
Okay, so another follow-up question.
Okay.
What is the world record, according to the World Cube Association? Yeah, exactly, 3x3x3, blindfolded, solving.
So does it include the examination time?
I would assume not. I would assume that it starts, but I don't know that, so
I don't know why
I answered that question.
Blindfold and go.
Okay, and that's what the time's at, because the kid I saw was like 14.7 seconds or
was
something.
Was he an Indian kid? Because I saw that video, too.
Maybe. I thought he was Asian.
I'm going to say like...
Indian is Asian, so...
Yeah. 12.8.
I was going to
say like 12.8.
I was going to say around there, like 14.3.
18.31, so you're all pretty close, but still incredibly impressive.
It's all algorithmic, so there's a pattern to solve it, but still, in order to be able to solve the cube, you need to know the pattern, memorize the patterns.
Yeah, and they also have average competitions, too. So you have your fastest time, your speed, and your sprinters, and then you have your average solvers, because the pattern is all different, too.
Right,
so.
right.
Well, that is, apparently, there's one move that you can do that can allow you to move a square to anywhere. It's the same thing you could do over and over and over and over and over again, and you can move any square, one square to one square. The question is, to do it quickly, can you move more than one square at a time? So, because my fraternity brother knew whatever the pattern was, and he could therefore solve any Rubik's Cube. It was just a matter of how quickly he could solve it. It was how quickly he could move one square at a time.
And
that's a skill I'd like to have.
So where is he now?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
He's probably on this Cuban page somewhere.
Right, yeah.
Which, by the way, that's going to be our secret phrase.
Cuban page?
I was just going to say gone Cuban.
Gone
like
Cuban?
You're gone Cuban. Like gone fishing.
Okay. I like Gone Cuban.
C-U-B-I-N, not yes. A-N, because that would be an entirely different connotation.
No, yeah.
Okay.
Like C-U-B-B is, I don't know if
that
Cuban
would be Cubbin.
Yeah. It's one B. C-U-B-I-N apostrophe.
Gone Cubbin.
Okay, so we talked a lot about world records and vending machines and whatever the heck Michael's fact was. I would call it a spotty fact.
God, you're fired.
Okay, out.
That one's like a train coming. There's nothing you can do about it, but it's coming at you.
Oh, Lindsay, I will be here next week. So we'll get to the Tinder in Japan next week. I promise.
You're going to tell us before next week, right? We can go off and then
you
retell.
I'm going to tell you and then I'll retell.
Yeah, okay.
But on air, I'll tell you about Tinder. That's a promise.
Okay
awesome. Well, this has been We Don't Know Either. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Sean. Swipe right.
We Don't Know Either.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.